sing this together.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Praise God this morning. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we're just so grateful for who you are. We thank you so much for this time that we get to come together as your people to worship you, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ above every name, above everything in this earth. God, I pray that as you are lifted high, that you will draw men into yourself today. God, that we would leave this room changed. God, that we would leave this room and that it's undeniable that we met with the God of this universe. God, just thank you so much again for your word. I pray for Philip as he preaches this morning. God, it would not lay on deaf ears, but I pray again that hearts and lives would be changed. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, and I pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Well, before we jump in, I want to, Kenny asked me to share this morning. Many of you know Carl and Jana Odom. Carl is actually at Harris downtown. He's in the hospital. He's not doing real well. But we just want to stop this morning, and I want to make you guys aware of that if you didn't know that. But I also just want to stop this morning before we go any further, and we just want to pray for them and just lift them up in prayer this morning. So why don't you join us this morning? Father, we just lift up Carl to you, and God, we don't know all the circumstances and all the things that are going on with him there, Lord, but we just, God, we come to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and God, we lift up Carl to you, and God, we just pray that you take him into your hands. Father, we pray that you would touch him, God, that you would minister to him, God, that you would minister to Jana, God, that there would be a peace, God, in that room because of the King of Kings, because the Prince of Peace is there, and God, we just pray that you would be with him this morning. God, just let your will be done there. God, I pray your healing touch on him. And God, I just pray that you would just be there and minister to that family. God, we love you and we just thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, man, gosh, didn't Nathan do an awesome job? Man, oh man. You know, I was sitting over here and very rarely do I get to sit and just worship with you guys. But just to sit here and watch the worship team, and now granted, I'm pretty biased because I get up here and do this every week, but man, we have got some talented musicians in this church, some talented people, and man, I am so thankful for an opportunity like this where Nathan can just step in and lead. Man, this is awesome. What an awesome dude, man, talented guy. But man, this morning, I'm always looking for an opportunity to be able to share with you guys, and I love being able to do this. I love being able to share. A lot of people don't know one of my passions. I love to preach. I love to share the Word of God. I love to share what the Lord has shown me. And so when Brother Lee, he sent me and Nathan both a message, asked Nathan to preach last week, and he sent me a message wanting me to preach this week. And so I've had this message on my heart for a long time, and I've talked about it in worship a few times, but man, the Lord has had me in the book of Colossians, man, for like 2 months. He just told me to read the book of Colossians all the way through every day. So I've read it every day, all the way through multiple, some days twice, sometimes three times, and I've just read it. And every time I'd try to move on from it, the Lord would go, hey, go back. And I'd be like, man, what am I missing? So obviously I'm not getting something there. So I've been reading it over and over. So when Lee sent me a message and said, hey, you want to preach? I was like, absolutely. I've got something in my pocket. But what I love about this, and I want to share this with you because a lot of guys don't know this. So a lot of times in worship, me and Brother Lee meet every Monday and we talk about a lot of different things. We shoot the bull. We talk about baseball. You know, we just do a lot of stuff. And he'll occasionally say, hey man, this is what I'm preaching on. This is where I'm at. But very rarely do we sit down and hash out, okay, I'm preaching on this. So Philip, you need to sing songs with this, this, and this theme. But what happens is so many times I pray about the song list, Lee prays about what he's supposed to preach, and 9 out of 10 times, man, they line up perfect. And just like last week when Nathan was preaching, me and Nathan didn't talk about the songs and what was supposed to go together. It just worked. Like I prayed about it, he prayed about it, and everything just meshed, everything worked. And so when Lee asked me to preach, and actually I was sitting over here as Lee was preaching a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about love without strings, I was going, man, that'll go great with what I'm talking about. And then Nathan got up, and Nathan preached just basically the explicit gospel last week. And so I thought, and it was awesome. And I thought, man, this is awesome because what the Lord has given me is such a perfect follow-up to those two messages. And I'm so excited because this has just been, it's been sitting on my heart. And, you know, I've just been sitting in my office in the mornings because I get up, I'm an early person. I get up early and I like to get up and read. I have this window of time in my household because I have a 4-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. So I have this window of time is about an hour and a half. So I get up usually around 6 o'clock and I have from about 6 to 7:30. 7:30 is when my 4-year-old knows he can come out of his room. It's like quiet. At 7:30, then everything starts going. You just never know what's going to go on. But you have this window of time. So I spend this time every morning with the Lord. And it's just, it's so awesome. I love it when the Lord starts speaking, when the Lord just starts showing you different things. So the book of Colossians is one I've read. I've studied it in school. I've read it so many times. But when you start reading it over and over, there's just different things that start to jump out at me. Just, and I'm sitting there going, wow, I never saw that before. Or I've read it. Well, I never looked at it that way. So this morning, I want to share this with you. So if you've got your Bible, if you go to Colossians chapter 3, I heard a guy at a conference say one time, if you've got your Bible, turn it on. So we're going to read a lot of scripture this morning, and we're just going to kind of walk through this and just talk about it as we go, because, man, I'm excited about this. So Colossians 3. Says this, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Now, he's that you're, since you have been raised to new life, man, we saw the perfect picture. We saw baptism earlier. You have been brought from death into life. It's what Nathan preached last week with the gospel message. When you receive Christ, you have been brought from spiritual death into spiritual life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. He says, since you've been brought to life, set your sight on the realities of heaven. There's something that happens when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Things begin to change. The way we talk about this at my Tuesday morning Bible study all the time. Your mindset begins to change. The way you think about things begins to change. He says, set your mind and your sights on the realities of heaven. When you accept Christ and Christ comes into your life, all of a sudden, heaven becomes very real to you. You realize that I'm no longer, there is a real hell and there is a real heaven. And all of a sudden you have this realization that I have my place in heaven because I've accepted Christ. And all of a sudden it becomes very real and you want to let other people know about it. He says, set your mind on the realities of heaven. Let heaven become a reality to you where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. And he says this, think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. Man, there's a lot of things around us. We have a lot of, you know, we live in a place where we have a lot of different stuff. We've got big houses. We've got toys. There's all kinds of stuff. We've got all kinds of things around us that we can really distract us from the focus of the gospel. I started thinking the other night about how easily distracted I can be. I've seen times where I know for me, I can be sitting on my couch watching TV with a laptop sitting in my lap with my phone right here and an iPad right here. And somehow I'm focusing, I don't know, but it's easy to be very distracted from things around you. He says, set your mind not on earthly things, but set your mind on heavenly things. For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And this is the verse that got me, okay? Verse 4. He says, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And I remember I was sitting in my office at my house, and I'm reading that. I've read this verse 1,000 times, man. And he says, and when Christ, who is your life, and it kind of took me back. And I sat back in my chair in my office, and I went, man, is Christ my life? And I started thinking about it. I was like, I don't know if I could say, is Christ my whole life? Everything I live for, everything I have, that is Christ. And I started thinking, what if I went around and asked people, what would you say my life is about? You might get all kinds of answers. So people know I love like doing woodworking stuff. I'm always posting pictures of different projects and stuff that I'm working on. Somebody said, well, that dude, he's all about woodworking. He loves doing that. Well, that's great, but I don't want people to say that's what my life is about. You might look at me and you say, man, that dude is all about baseball. Because how many of y'all been watching the World Baseball Classic? Anybody? Couple, yeah, somebody. Okay, they haven't been covering this on the news. It is great. It is like watching an all-star game every night. It's beautiful. It's like, picture this. It's like the World Series and the Olympics and the all-star game all mashed up into one tournament. It's beautiful. You need to watch it. If you get the MLB Network, you need to watch it. So I started thinking, I know things like the World Baseball Classic. Somebody might look at me and say, I can tell you that this opening day for baseball is in 15 days. Amen. That's right. I have been counting down the days because TV is terrible. I am so bored with all the stuff that's on TV. It's like, I need baseball back in my life. But I am ready to watch some Texas Rangers. I'm ready to watch baseball. But I don't want people to look at me and say, well, man, that guy is all about baseball. It's all he lives for. He is all about it. Or if you've ever watched, Sarah and I just rebuilt an old camper. It was a 1973 camper, and it literally consumed 6 months of our life that we gutted this thing and rebuilt it. But I don't want people to look at me and say, man, that guy is all about renovation. That guy is all about his old camper, or he's all about baseball. I want to be somebody when they look at me and they say, man, that dude is about Christ. Christ is that guy's life. And I started thinking, what do I need to do to change that? How do I change what I'm doing in my everyday life? How do I change that to when people look at me, they say, that guy's about Christ. I want people to look at Philip Meadows and say, man, that dude won't shut up about Jesus. That guy just keeps talking about it. I want people to look at my family and say, man, that Meadows family, that is a family that loves Jesus. All the other stuff is secondary. I want to be somebody who Christ is my life. And I started thinking, how do I get to that point? How do I go from where I'm at now? And I feel like I'm on a good path. But I want to be all consumed with Christ. And so as I've been reading through Colossians, the Lord has just been pulling things out. He's been pulling things out that I've been so excited to share. So I want to pray real quick before we jump further into this. We're going to kind of jump all around the book of Colossians and read in a few different places. But I want to pray real quick this morning as we go into this. Father, we just love you. And man, God, we're excited to be here. We're excited to be able to open your word together. We're excited to be able to come and God, just to be able to gather as your church body. God, the freedom that we have to do that. God, I pray that as we read your word this morning, God, that it would become life. It would come alive. It would jump off the page at us. Lord, that we would see your word in a new light this morning, that you would reveal things to us. Speak to our hearts this morning, God. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So flip over to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 in verse 6. And he says this, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. I kind of laugh when I read that because you would think that would be a given, right? I have accepted Christ. I have surrendered my life to Christ. But Paul says it here. Hey, you've accepted Christ. You have to continue to follow him. It doesn't stop at salvation. And unfortunately, there is a part of the church that will just, it's all about the numbers, man. We get people to salvation and then that's it. And they don't do anything with it after that. It's so much more than just salvation. It is getting salvation, but there is life after that. You grow in Christ. You must continue to follow him. Say it again. You must continue to follow him. We don't stop there. He says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. I love this verse because he gives two pictures here. He says, let your roots grow down into him and let your life be built on him. I think the ESV says, let your life be established on him. And he's giving, basically, he's giving two pictures here of a foundation. He says, you need to let your life be built on him. Let Christ be your foundation. And the one that jumped out, he says, let your roots grow down deep into him. And I started looking this week. There's four basic functionalities of a root system. Okay, the first one is this. The first one of a root system, it is to provide water and food. And so when we are letting our roots grow down into Christ, when we are digging deep roots in Christ, we're letting this, the Word of God, when we're reading this daily, when we're diving into this, when we're spending time in prayer, we're letting our roots grow down deep into Christ. And sometimes I feel silly saying this, but church, we need to read our Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, please, for heaven's sake, read your Bible. This is your food. This is your water. This is your life. This is what's going to sustain you. Let your roots grow down into him. Dive into this. So your first functionality of a root system is it's going to provide water. It's going to provide food. The second one is this. It's going to provide stability. If you know anything about trees or plants, which I don't have a green thumb to save my life, I kill every plant that's in our yard, or I'm a lot like Brother Lee, the deer eat my trees. But if you know anything about plants or roots, if they don't have a deep root system, they're not going to last. If you don't have a deep root system on your tree or your plants, it's not going to last. So the second functionality is it provides an anchor and it provides stability. So you know this, that as a Christian, when you've accepted Christ, you are going to have trials. You are going to have things in life that are going to come along. John 16:33 says, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Jesus tells us, you will have trials. You will have tribulations. Stuff is going to happen. Whether it's big stuff or whether it's little stuff, whatever it is, you will face storms in life. And the only way that we can prepare for that is to have a deep-rooted system, root system in Christ. We have to have a root system that goes deep so we have an anchor. So when the storms of life come along, it's not going to blow us over. We're not going to lose ourselves in the storm, but we're going to have a root system that goes down so deep that nothing's going to move us. We have to be anchored. Again, that's with this, the Word of God. Through prayer, we spend time in worship. We spend time getting to know him. And we'll talk about that in a minute, just getting to know Christ. But we let our roots grow down into him. So it provides food and water. It provides an anchor. It provides stability. The third one is this, is it provides, it's like the root system of a tree. It stores up food and water. Because as a believer, you're going to go through times in life where there's dry seasons. There's dry seasons in life as a Christian. How many of you have been through a season of life where you just didn't feel the Lord as near as you thought, as you would like to? It happens. I've been there. We've been there. But what happens, he hasn't left us, but he's letting us grow in that season. And what happens is when we have a deep root system in Christ and you have fed the root system with the Word of God, you have a storage of food and nutrients in your root system that is going to get you through that dry season. It's going to provide you enough food and water to get you through. And then the fourth one is this. So a root system, it spurs on reproduction. And so as a believer, we talk about this a lot here because this is Brother Lee's heart, but his discipleship. Discipleship is the heart. Brother Lee loves it. I mean, and it should be what we're about, but it says that a root system will spur on reproduction. When you have a deep-rooted system in Christ, Your heart is going to be for reproduction. Your heart is going to be for learning and helping other people grow in Christ. I was thinking, Sarah and I were outside yesterday, and she got preached at a little bit as this stuff was just kind of coming to my mind. But we were working on our front flower bed, and I started thinking about, so when we moved in 2 years ago, we had these ugly bushes that the previous owner planted. And, you know, hindsight, now I learned that they were deer repellent bushes or something. But, yeah. Texas sage or something. Anyway, they were ugly. They had been torn up. And so I said, we didn't want to like just kill them. So we wanted to move them along. We wanted to like move them in the backyard somewhere. And so I got on Google and, you know, I researched all the stuff that I could, like, how do I move these bushes without killing them? So I did all the stuff. And man, so I took a shovel and I just started working my way around. And man, I'll be darned if those things, I was down grabbing them like this and like trying to pull them up. And, you know, they didn't make it. But eventually, like, when I couldn't get them out of the ground, I took a hatchet to the roots and I'm like pulling them out. But yesterday we're out there and we're working on this flower bed and I'm just like hoeing up all the weeds in the flower bed. And all of a sudden I start hitting these roots. And I thought, where the heck did these roots come from? And I started thinking, these were from these darn sage bushes that were in our front flower bed from 2 years ago. I worked and I worked and I worked to get those roots up. I worked to get those plants out, and we moved them. Now they did die, but anyway. So I started thinking about that. And it's like I love when the Lord just starts talking. And so as a believer, discipleship and reproduction should be what we're about. We should be about helping other people grow in Christ. Now, as a parent, I have a 4-year-old and I have a 2-year-old, and my heart, more than anything else in the world, is for my kids to know Christ and for my kids to serve Christ. There's a lot of different things that we can give them. And, you know, we live in a community that is all about sports. We live in a community that is all about academics. And I started thinking all these different things I could give my kids. I could push my kids to be the best baseball players, to be the best football players, and I could push them to be the best of the best in all of Aledo and all across the country. But without Christ, they have nothing. I could push them to be the smartest. I could send them to tutoring. I could get them to have all straight A's. I could get them to have all these things, but without Christ, they have nothing. And I was thinking of all the things that I could give my children, I want them to know Christ. And I started thinking about my upbringing. Man, I come and I feel very blessed that I come from two godly parents who in my home growing up modeled that Christ was all that mattered. And so I look back and I have two brothers and we all came up with the same upbringing. We all came up with the same. My parents helped us as children dig a deep root system in Christ. And as I was watching, I was looking at our flower bed and those things that I've moved, those roots are still there. Now, my parents, they poured into us. They took us to church. I saw my dad every morning praying. I saw him up reading the Word of God. And I saw it from my father that having a root system in Christ is important. And they prayed with us. They showed us the Word. And because of that, I have a root system in Christ that is deep. Now, what happens is when my children or when me and my brothers all go somewhere, we all have the same foundation. We all have the same root system. But it is a choice that we make at that point, what you're going to do with it. Now, as a parent, I look at my kids and say, what is the most I can do for them? The most I can do for my kids is to look at them and give them a root system in Christ. What my children choose to do with it when they turn 18 or when they move out, that's their choice. And I can pray for them, but I can help my children have a deep-rooted system in Christ. And if I do that, then I know that at some point in their life, you know, at some point they're going to look back and know that their root system is in Christ. So as a parent, I look to have my children with a deep root system in Christ. My 4-year-old can, now he may not understand it all, but he can quote back the what Jesus is all about. He can tell me about Easter. He can tell me about the cross. He can tell me, and we have him pray every night. And granted, he doesn't understand everything that he's saying. But because of that, my child is getting a root system in that. It is so important for us to establish a root system in Christ. He says, let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And what happens is when we begin to dig our root system deep in Christ, as we start to grow in Christ, we begin to have a deeper understanding of the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel, it's more than we begin to learn more about than when we just accepted Christ. Yes, salvation is important, but there's when we start to grow in Christ, when we get to know Christ, the truth of the gospel becomes even more real. And that spurs us on. It says you will grow in the truth you were taught, and then you will overflow with thankfulness. Because when you begin to grow in the truth of the gospel, you understand what the gospel is all about, and then you quickly realize that I have so much to be thankful for because Christ died for me. And it spurs on a heart of thankfulness. So we need to have a deep root system. I was thinking about when Sarah and I lived in, we lived in Fort Worth before we moved out here, and we lived in this neighborhood, and I had a much smaller yard at the time, and I was all about, I wanted to make my yard like the best yard in all the neighborhood. So me and my neighbors had these yard wars, and I won all the time, but partially because they did not know we were having yard wars. But there was this neighbor across the street. And so I would get out every day and I would, you know, as much as I could, and I would water our yard, and I would turn the sprinkler system on. That's what I would do. I'd turn the sprinkler system on and I would put seed out, and I did the whole deal. And at one point we had a pretty lush yard. I mean, it was nice. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I would watch the neighbor across the street, and he would send his teenage son out to do it. And man, he would get that push mower out, and he'd crank it down to the lowest setting, and he would just scalp the top of it, man. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, I won again. And I'm sitting there watching him, and I thought, man, because the kid has taken and he scalped all the top of that grass off, it does not allow it to have a deep root system. Because it's been all chopped off, that grass will never have a deep root system. It never gives it a chance to grow a deep root system. As believers, if we take this away and we're not reading this, if we're not diving into this, we do not give ourselves a chance to have a deep root system in Christ. We have to be feeding ourselves this daily. We have to have a deep root system. So we have to establish a root system in Christ. Now let's jump over to this. Colossians 3 and verse 5. We're going to read a lot here. I'm just going to talk about it as we go. So he says this: so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. And I love verse 10. It says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. He tells us to put on our new nature. Now, he doesn't say when you accept Christ, Christ will grow you into a huge tree. He says, now that you've accepted Christ, put off all these old things. And he says, you make a choice to put on your new nature. It's a choice you make, church. It's a choice we make to stop and to say, I'm not going to do the things I used to do, but I'm going to put on the new nature of Christ, and I'm going to grow in the new nature of Christ. It's not the job of your pastor. It's not the job of your friends. It's not the job of your Bible study group. It is your personal choice to put on the new nature of Christ and to grow in the knowledge of Christ and get to know your Creator. If you've ever seen someone who just has a relationship with Christ that you just like, you look at and you're just a little bit jealous about because they know Christ, it's because they've put time into it. They have stopped and they have made a choice to get to know Christ. They have made a choice to put on the new nature. And I don't know why this kept hitting me this week, but church, it is a choice that we make to get to know Him. It's a choice we make when we walk through those doors every Sunday to worship. Worship is not going to happen. Nathan can stand up here all day. I can stand up here all day and sing and play, and we can have the best music in all the world. But until you make a choice to worship the King of Kings, it's not going to happen. It has to be your choice to worship. We make a choice to do that. He says, but you put on your new nature. We choose to put that on, and then we choose to learn to know our Creator and become like Him. says, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Christ is all that matters. All these other things, all the things of the world, when we're talking about it, the first of Colossians 3, he says, set your mind on heavenly things. Set your mind on the realities of heaven. Why? Because Christ is all that matters. All my new toys, they don't matter. I can have all the coolest stuff in the world. I can have the latest technology. It doesn't matter. Christ is all that matters. We have to know that Christ is all that matters in us. In verse 12, he says this, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves, choose again, to clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Verse 14, it says this, above all the other stuff that we've just read, above everything else we've just talked about, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And I was thinking about this. Brother Lee talked about this 2 weeks ago. He's talking about loving without strings. He's talking about loving the church, loving fellow believers. If you want to see a church that's effective for Christ, show me a church that loves each other. They will know that we're believers by our love one for another. He says that we must above all clothe ourselves with love. Again, it's a choice that you make whether you're going to show love or whether you're not going to. So I grew up in East Texas, Northeast Texas. And man, my dad's a hay farmer. And so I grew up in the hay field. I had been driving a vehicle since I was 8 years old. I've been on tractors since I was 7, 8 years old. And my dad had us out baling hay, raking, and doing all those things from as far back as I can remember. My younger brother probably started earlier than my older brother and I did. But we were always in the hay field. And I realized quickly as I got in high school that being a hay farmer was not what I wanted to do with my life. When you're in 110 degrees and you have no shade over you and you're just plowing through raking hay, it is not what I wanted to do. Luckily, I had an advocate in my grandmother. She used to yell at my dad, get that boy a canopy. Get him a canopy over. But one of my favorite things to do as working with my dad, and you have to understand that my family, it runs deep in my family. Man, my family is pyros. We love to play with fire. I do. Both of my brothers do. My dad is even worse than I am. I've been told my granddad was even worse than he was. My granddad would just go start fires without warning and just burn stuff. But one of my favorite things was to burn off a hayfield. So much fun. Okay, it's a lot of fun. But here's the deal. It took a lot of preparation. So you'd have to get all your tools, and basically you'd take a tractor, and you'd take a disc, and you'd run all the way around the field, and you'd basically make a 6 to 8 foot wide dirt track all the way around the hayfield. So when you're burning stuff, it's not going to jump out and go burn something else. So you'd spend a lot of time. You'd run, you know, one of the fields that we'd always burn off was about 80 acres. And so you'd go all the way around it, and you would till it up and make sure that it was all good. And then you'd go, and my dad had a sprayer on the back of one tractor. And then he had a propane tank and a torch. That's the most fun part. But if you light that thing up, so the way you do it, so you go to one end of the field, and you go and you light the fire, and it slowly starts burning. Well, if you know anything about it, to get them to go to the middle, you go to the other end of the field and you start a backfire. And then you start burning this one. And one of the coolest things that I've ever seen in my life, okay, is when these two fires start coming towards each other. So all the oxygen from these fires is like pulling this fire to the middle. And then all of a sudden the wind starts whipping through there. And it's a thing, it's called a fire tornado. And so that fire starts whipping like this and it's shooting 60 feet in the air. You know, as a 16-year-old, we're going, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. You know, it's probably really dangerous. But anyway, it's shooting into the air, and we're just in amazement. But what happens is this fire, this wall of fire is coming this way, and this wall of fire is coming this way, and they start rolling towards each other. And by the time, as they're moving towards the middle, man, it is rolling. It is going fast. They're coming at each other, and all of a sudden, these two walls of fire, they hit each other, and it just goes boom, and the fire just like dissipates. And I remember I was doing this when I was 17. And I remember I had just gotten my life right with the Lord. And I was so eager to hear the voice of the Lord. And as I'm watching this fire, I've always said the Lord will talk to you according to your personality. He talks to me a lot with fire. So as I'm watching these two fires roll together, and the Lord said to me, he said, Philip, if you want to kill a move of God faster than anything, you start a backfire. Because as a church, guys, as a church, we can be a church that is loving, we can be a church that is moving, and we're moving with the Spirit of God, but what happens is the enemy knows that he can't physically go and stop what's happening there. So what he does is he goes and he starts over here and he starts a backfire. Well, this person gets offended. Well, this person gets offended. And all of a sudden you've got a sect of the church that's mad and they're upset and they're all offended. And then over here you've got people that are loving and the Spirit of God is moving. And what happens, as long as the enemy can keep these people upset, as long as he can keep them mad, what happens is these two walls, they come, boom. And you want to kill a move of God really fast? Have some people who are offended. Have some people who are mad at each other. Have some people who aren't loving each other. That will stop the Spirit. It will squelch the Spirit so fast. Church, don't be the backfire. Now, I'm not saying this because I know anything. I don't know of anybody that's mad here, but I'm telling you this morning, don't be the backfire. Don't be the one that's not loving. Don't be the one that's angry and upset. Don't be the one who's offended at everything, who's not forgiving. Don't be the one who kills the move. We want to be a church here that is moving with the Spirit of God. We want to be a church here that is moving with whatever God wants. And to do that, we have to clothe ourselves with love. And it says, when we clothe ourselves with love, it'll bind us all together in perfect harmony. Man, you want to see a church move. We bind ourselves together with love. And then, man, the Spirit of God can move and he can use us to see the Spirit move outside these walls and go into our city and go into our surrounding area and to see the Spirit of God move. We got to clothe ourselves with love. So we have to have a deep root system in Christ. And we have to clothe ourselves in love. And then jump over to chapter 4, Colossians 4. In verse 2, and I've been on this for a long time, but he says, in verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. If we want to be people who Christ is our life, we have to be people with a deep root system. We have to be people who are bound together in love. And then we have to be a people who are devoted to prayer. He says, be devoted to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. When we're spending time in prayer, when we're spending time in the Word of God, what happens is the Lord begins to speak to us in the middle of our day. I pray every morning before I walk out of my office when my 4-year-old comes barreling down the stairs. I always pray, Lord, let me be sensitive to your voice. Lord, give me an ear to hear your voice. Let my spirit be sensitive to yours. Because what happens is we get in the busyness of our day, and we get distracted from what God is trying to do. And I always want to have an alert mind and a spirit that is alert to the things of God, that when God speaks to me in the busy part of my day, I stop and I do whatever he's telling me to do. But he says, devote yourselves to prayer. We have to be devoted to prayer. Prayer is hard because sometimes it takes us stopping and just, because we're busy people. We have a lot of stuff going on. We have things going on in our life, but we have to be people who are devoted to prayer. Now, I'm not saying you have to stop every morning and go to your prayer closet. Yes, that's great, but I'm talking about having an ear for the Spirit of the Lord all throughout the day, listening for his voice, listening for him, and being alert to the things of God. It says, be alert mind and a thankful heart, because what happens, again, this thankfulness thing, it comes up. When we begin to have a mind that is alert to the things of God, we become very thankful for the price he paid for us. The reality of the cross, the realities of heaven begin to become on the forefront of our thoughts, and we become very thankful for all that he's done. And we become a people who want to share that with other people. So we have to have a deep root system in Christ. We have to be bound together in love. And church, we have to be devoted to prayer. We want to be a church and a people that are moving with the Spirit of God. These are some steps to do. Establish a root system in Christ. Go ahead and have Nathan and the worship team come back up this morning. And as I was just thinking about this, I just thought, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have an altar call type deal this morning, but I just want you to think about this morning, that if you maybe have strayed away from this, maybe you have not established a deep root system, maybe you're not binding yourselves with others with love, maybe we're not devoted to prayer, I want you to do a self-evaluation this morning and look at ourselves and say, where do I need to grow? What do I need to do to have a deeper root system in Christ? What do I have to do? So as I pray, I just want you guys to think about that and ask the Lord this week, Lord, what do I need to do to grow deeper in you? So Father, we love you this morning, and God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the cross. As the song said, we're thankful that you chose the mercy tree. That you chose to look on us with love, God, when we didn't deserve it. But you chose to die on that cross anyway. And I pray this morning as a church that we would be a people that the realities of heaven are on the forefront of our thoughts. That the realities of heaven are what we're thinking about all the time. Let us be a people who are rooted in you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For ushers, come forward this morning.